Hallelujah. Well, today I want to talk to you about canned goods. We've had our supper, but we're going to have some more canned goods that I bring out. I want to talk to you about two different cans that we have to deal with as God's people, as disciples, as Christian people. There are a lot of things that are cannot. I think about 175 times in the Bible it says cannot. But over 200 plus times in the Bible is the word can. So today I'm going to do a little silly illustration just for the purpose of a memory aid, because I want you to remember this message, and so therefore I'm going to pull out a couple of illustrations and talk to you about these two cans that we all deal with. And that as Christians, not as the world, and these are big cans, these hold a lot of stuff right here, and I'm going to bring them down so you can see them. Two cans, this one, I like this one the best, where Paul said, I can do all things. Can y'all see that? I can do all things through Christ. This is a can of nothing. Nothing. The Bible talks about that too. Jesus is the one that says, well, it's on the back. Without me, you can do nothing. The Apostle Paul later, after Jesus said, he said, with Christ, I can do all things. These are totally opposite, on polar opposite ends of the spectrum of the idea of can. And what is interesting about without Christ, that I didn't always know until recently, is that Jesus didn't say, without me, you can't do anything. Now, we might think that you can't do anything or you can do nothing would be the same thing. Just a different way of saying the same thing, because that's the way we talk. But actually, Jesus said, without me, you can do. Without me, you can do. And I began to think about that. That's true. It's not true. If he would have said, without me, you can't do anything, that would not be true. The disciples were fishing before they ever met Jesus. They were doing without Christ. They were fishing without Christ. And then when Christ came, they had Christ. And they could continue to fish. Or, as Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But it's not true that if you don't have Christ, you can't do anything. The Bible says you can do. And these two cans, I mean, if we could have somebody come up just so you'd... Well, trust me, this, we'll just save time. But this weighs the same as this. The weight is the same. This says nothing. This is a can of nothing. But if you were to pick it up, you'd say, well, there's something there. Because the way we usually think of nothing, we'd be thinking of not anything. But today I want to tell you that the Bible nothing is something. Weight of that which is all things. Nothing is something. And you can do it without Christ. You can fish, you can hunt, you can have a job, you can have a family. Think about without Christ what people do. They can do. But the Bible, Jesus says, it's nothing. So today I want to just remind you that nothing that Jesus talks about is something. It's something. It's in there. It's in there. And it there's a weight. And the effort and the energy and the commitment that people have without Christ is the same kind of thing and the weight that people have when they have Christ. Both are something. And Paul said, now with Christ, the sky is the limit. All things are possible. Doesn't mean that God will do it. But with Christ, all things are possible. So in this can, there's just all kinds of things that you can do because of Christ. And you can do things without Christ. But the valuation of it, according to Christ, it's called nothing. Nothing. It's something, but it's nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. But with Christ, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, of what God has empowered us to do as opposed to a life that represents, it has weight, it has burdens. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard, it's weighty. There's something in there. People without Christ are busy. They're doing something. They have issues. There's concerns. There's commitments. There's loves, desires, ambition. They have it too. But what should it gain? What should it profit a man, though he should gain? There's things. It's not that this has nothing. It's just that the nothing is something. As gain the whole world. What does it profit, though he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit? If he should gain. So you can do, but at the end of life, at the end of the line, when all things are exposed and all things are brought into judgment, if you lose your own soul, if you don't have Christ, if Christ is not guiding you, if everything is not by faith, Paul said it is sin. So Jesus is very radical. The gospel is radical. The Christian life is radical. It's like, it feels like we need a third can here. A third one, some kind of middle ground or something. This seems too radical. All things, nothing. Okay, let's eat. Let's eat. We've got a can of food here. God is calling you to believe that all things are possible. That's what the Bible says. All things are possible to him that believes. He wants you to know. He says it over and over and over. If you can do anything, help us, the Father said to Jesus. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Christ is directing his disciples and those that came to him. He's directing them to this faith and this awareness and conviction that when you serve God, anything can happen. If God wants you to do it, he can enable you to make it happen. You can do all things. Doesn't mean that you will, but it's a can of opportunity and potential, and God wants you to believe that. And the alternative, and it's to the disciples. He says this to the disciples about the, I am the vine and you're the branches. He says, you're branches, I'm the vine. And without me, you can do nothing. So what are you doing? I'm doing nothing. Oh, you're not doing anything? Oh, I'm doing something, but it's nothing. And that nothing is something. It's weighty. It's hard. It's a hard life not to have Christ. But it's a hard life with Christ. You think about the hardship of being a Christian and having that expectation by God in your life that he wants you to believe that anything can happen. If you believe, and it's God's will, with God all things are possible, and the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. So there's two aspects of that. According to your faith, be it unto you. And according to God's will and purpose, he's sovereign. But with God, with or without you, with God, you better believe he can do anything he wants to do. But also he wants you, in a more personal way, an application to you, that all things are possible to you. It's all things are possible with God, but all things are possible to you if you believe. And Paul believed. And towards the end of his ministry, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. And the reason, he goes on to say, because I can do all things through Christ. Like what? I can be poor. I can be rich. I can be full. I can be empty. I can suffer. I can be exalted. I can do this. Whatever. And you look through the book of Acts and you find Paul went through all kinds of things. And he could do every one of them. Beat up, left for dead, outside the city. He could do that. He didn't get up and say, God, why did you do that? I just can't serve you. I just don't. No, he didn't do that. He took it like a man. And that may have been when he had that, he was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful for a man to utter. That may have been when it happened, when he was beat up and left for dead. They thought he was dead. Then later to the Corinthians, he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was caught up to the third heaven and saw things and heard things that were not lawful for me to repeat. So he knew how to be exalted, and lest he should be exalted above measure, God allowed a little thorn in the flesh. You've heard about that, right? Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some people guess and speculate as to what that was. We don't know for sure what it was, but there was a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, so he would not, because of his visions and being caught up to the third, that he would not become proud and arrogant and boastful about that. So there was a thorn in the flesh, and he asked the Lord three times to take it away from him. And that's when God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. You can do this. This is the can of all things. You can do it. You can stand for Christ and suffer the consequences. And if somebody comes up and says, you're the best thing since sliced bread, well, with Christ, you can hear that and still be humble because God knows how to keep you that way. Right? You can have a compliment, or you can be a success or whatever and not let it go to your head. You can do that. You can do that. You know why? Because you follow Christ. You're not going to go off into arrogance and pride and boastfulness and fall. You don't have to. A lot of people do, but you don't have to. And then if bad times come and can't pay your water bill, you know what's going to happen? They're going to shut your water off if you don't pay your water bill. People in Florida, bless their hearts, many of them, thousands and thousands, millions. Boy, we were checking on some of our family and friends this week, and it was hard, hard, dangerous. And Christians and unbelievers, both cans operating in Florida this week. People that don't know Christ, they can do. But as God would see it, for his disciples, if you engage in a lifestyle, if you pursue ambition, if you raise a family, if whatever you do, God requires you to do it in faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He requires that his disciples believe that anything can happen. God can do anything. He wants you to be so convinced that God is big and great and that you can do all things through Christ as well. And he has all of these many witnesses in Hebrews 11 and all throughout the Bible. All these witnesses that surround us, that stand and say, faith works, God is real, God will do it. Yes, trust Him, don't give up. You can do it. Some were sawn asunder, some received deliverance, some were raised from the dead, some waited for a better resurrection and were not rescued. Some were tortured and slain, sawn asunder. Some received deliverance. Some mothers received their children raised back from the dead, other mothers did not. So it's a mixture of all. What? Well, this happened over here, but this person over here had another experience. And the people of God in Asia are doing this. People in Africa, even in America, so many varieties of experiences that God's people are going through. All things. As a Christian, there's a higher bar for you to reach for, a higher standard. And God is saying that without me, you can do nothing. God wants you to be totally dependent on Him for everything because you're a disciple. He wants you to live and operate with two truths side by side, operating simultaneously, that you are nothing without Christ. You're nothing. And that's not pleasant, because we all in our flesh want to amount to something. I heard an adult way back a long time ago talking about another child that was mean and a bully. And that adult said about that child to another adult, "He's not going to amount to a hill of beans." A horrible thing to say about somebody. Not going to amount to nothing. Not going to amount to nothing. And we want to, in our flesh, with or without God, we're doing things that we want acknowledgement. We want our life to count. We want to be a success. We want to accomplish. There's a lot of good things in the world, but they don't have Christ. And in the day of judgment, how much will their good education or their good morals or their diligence or the discipline that they had or whatever, if they didn't have Christ? The Bible says it's wood, hay, and stubble. That's what's in this can. It's something, but it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's what we call, it's what Jesus called nothing. And I want to tell you, nothing is something. And it's not for you. It's not for me. God wants you to be totally dependent on Him. I'm nothing without Him, but with Him I can do all things. It's such an extreme thing that we have to live with. I'm nothing without Him, but with Him, I'm this. I can do this. Sky's the limit. Anything can happen. There's miracles. There's angels. I have eternal life. I'm going to overcome death. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to rule and reign with Him, like we talked about last week. All of these things that apply there. And so in this life, everything is about Jesus. Whatsoever, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Because without Christ, in whatever endeavor you have, is a can of nothing. It's a can of nothing. And it is something. I want to read to you, before we close, I want to read to you a couple of corroborating verses. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, this is Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Again, in Luke 1, it says, "For with God," this is a Christmas story, and the Christmas story, we'll be reviewing that before too long. "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Who said that to who? It's part of the Christmas story. It's what Gabriel told Mary when she asked about it. How shall this be? Well, with men it's impossible. Only one way to get pregnant unless you're Mary, and it's the Holy Ghost. But that happened. In Matthew 19, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible." He says it again. "With men this is impossible." It's impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Ephesians 3:20, the Word of God says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask, according to the power that works within you, all things are possible." All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall have them. You shall receive. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." That's to the father that I mentioned a while ago. Because the dad said, "If you can do anything, help us." He said, "Well, if you can believe, that's the key. If you can believe, then it opens up the prospects of all things. If you remove Christ, You may have the same commitment. You may have the same level of energy and commitment to your pursuit or whatever. You may have good intentions. It may be moral. It may be ethical. But if you're a disciple and Christ is not a part of what you're doing, it ends up as being a can of nothing. So God has given us, as disciples, He has given us this can do with all things. And one of that is to be somebody, to be something that you can't be without Christ. You can take a sinner and a Christian, look at them, and they may look about the same. But when Christ comes into a life and He is Lord of all the things in that life, then you become something that you were not before and that you cannot be on your own. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power. It's not you. He gave you the power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. The power in that can of all things, is the power to speak in ways that you could not speak without the anointing and without Christ. That you can do it. Let me tell you, every one of us here can speak up for Christ because of the Holy Ghost. Not because of your conditioning, not because of a seminar, or because of training or grooming. It's just because the Holy Ghost will make you a speaker. In 1 Peter 4, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God gives. That's the can of all things. It gives you the ability. In that can, there's the ability to work for God and to accomplish great things because of God. I can do, Paul said, I can do. Jesus said about you, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I'll send the other Comforter. The Holy Ghost indwelling within us creates the possibility of all kinds. It's the can of all things. Greater works. Well, what's that like? Well, just all kinds of things. Now, you can do without Him. You can just do on your own. And men might look at it and say, wow, great job, great job. And maybe it is a great job. But God never intended His people to have self-worth. He wants you to know the truth. You have Christ's worth. You have God's worth. Because all we like sheep have gone astray and we have gone to our own way. We are by nature the children of wrath. So self-worth and self-love is just an inoculation, or it's an anesthetic to calm you while you go to hell on your way. We are preached to in society about the importance of self-worth and self-love. And I understand what they're saying. But that's not the gospel message. The truth is we're in trouble. The truth is all men are in trouble. All people have sinned. And you will die if there's not divine intervention. Just because you're a human, you will come under the judgment of God. Christ is not a nice option. I'm telling you, He's the only ticket out of town. He's the only way to escape hell. If you want to be a natural person, you want to go natural and all, then that means judgment. That means hell. So for us to have any kind of independence in our self-worth and our sense of well-being, and it doesn't surround the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not based upon the rock and the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then it's an illusion. It's a lie. And it's just a bucket of nothing. It's a bucket of nothing. All the accomplishment. And then at the end, God didn't help you do that. God didn't direct that. Christ wasn't the center of that. Christ makes a difference. Not only in your becoming a Christian, but Christ on a day-by-day basis makes the difference. And that's what he likes. He wants you to lean on him for everything. I know you you I can handle it. I've done this. I can do this. Yeah. You can do nothing. You can do all kinds of things. But God wants you to depend on him. He wants you to look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith. He wants you to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. He doesn't want you to have a sense of self-sufficiency. He doesn't want you to have a positive self-image and just be in love with yourself. Boy, I get sick of it. It sounds good, though. A lot of people like to hear it. Oh, you're special. You're special. Well, everybody is special. God loves everybody. So, yes, that's true. You're special. But God has a calling for his. If you claim the name of Christ, then you must be a dependent. To be what God wants you to be, he'll have to make it happen. You will not arrive at that place. You will not be able to speak. You will not be able to work. You'll not be able to fight the good fight unless God is your commander. He's your lead. He's your guide. He's your friend. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your king. He's an ever present help. Kings of Israel learned that God got really angry when they became self-sufficient and they thought they could go out to war and not have to depend on the prophet to help them. He got offended. God got offended. God would say, Did I not help you when your back was against the wall? When you had no confidence, when you had no way of believing that you could handle your problem, didn't I come in and rescue you?
Uh-huh.
Well, but why didn't you ask my help for this one? Asa. King Asa did really good and then did really bad. He did really good when he was outnumbered, 100-1. He was outnumbered. It was in the time of Isaiah. And the enemy came and mocked him and mocked and sowed fear among the Israelites. And the enemy wrote him a letter and read it to all the people that were on the wall. And Hezekiah and Asa and many kings, they would go through that testing where the enemy would mock them and mock their God. And they would shake in their boots and they would seek the Lord. And the prophet would give them a word and say, "Don't you fear. Don't you fear." So Asa did really good. And then there became a little skirmish on the border. Wasn't a life and death issue, just a little skirmish on the border. Something that he could, with his diplomacy, he could talk to the Syrians and form a league and take care of it himself. He didn't call on the prophet, didn't seek guidance from the prophet. And then God came and spoke to him. He said, "No, I don't like that. I don't like that." And Asa had been such a good king when he was dependent. But when he became independent, the Bible says he became diseased in his feet. Again, just a little problem, not a heart attack. He just had disease in his feet. I don't know what it was. A disease. And he sought the physicians rather than God. He started out seeking God. But he got to the place where, "I can do this. I can do this. I can do this." And God warned him, "No, I want to help you every day. I want to be an ever-present help. Well, you can do all things through me." And again, he did not do it when he got sick in his feet. He consulted the physicians and didn't consult the prophet. So he dies of something he should not have died because. With Hezekiah, the Lord said, "Okay, prepare your house, get your house in order, for you're going to die." And Hezekiah, he didn't want to die. He began to cry. He said, "God, I want to die. I don't want to die. I'm still young. I'm not finished. Come on, Lord." And he began to, and God said, "Okay, I've seen your tears." God liked it when the king came and, "I need you. I need you. I can't. I can't, well, like the song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's kind of like the way Hezekiah was. He, at the prospects of dying, he, oh man. And God said, I've seen your tears and I've heard your cry. Behold, I will heal you and I'm going to give you 15 more years. Nice. All things are possible. All things are possible. Anything can happen. It's between you and God. If you'll consult with Him in the good times, the bad times, when things are going your way, when it's not going your way, just always realize that God is a friend that sticks. Amen. He sticks, and He wants you to stick. Don't just call on Him and use Him for a fire escape. He wants to run your life. And you be feasting out of that can of all things. Because with Christ, look out. I don't have that pedigree. It doesn't matter. Somebody said, you know, God's looking for somebody that'll be small enough to do big things. God is looking for someone that will go down so He can put them up. Somebody that'll kneel in order to stand. And that's you and me. We're living in really hard times. And it's going to get harder. Something is happening in the world today that's different. Something's happening. And I don't know the details, but I just know that the Word of God is being fulfilled. In the process of being fulfilled. And wheels are turning that haven't been turning, but now they're turning. And we have to be prepared for the unknown. We have to do what Jesus said, watch and pray. You know what that means? If you'll really watch with eyes of truth, it's going to make you seek God. If you will look at reality and see it the way it really is, it will cause you to go to your knees and say, God, my kids need help. I can't let my kids. My grandkids, no. I can't let that happen to my kids. You look what happens to our kids. And this is not in the back alleys of the slums of America. This is with medical associations and doctors' associations and medical groups and lawyers and media and government that want to mutilate kids because of certain feelings and emotions and this lie of the devil that's being given to parents. When I read about that and I hear about it, I'm like, what is going on in our country? I cannot believe this. I know prophecy. I know it's, you know, perilous. Yes, but I'm telling you, it's like, I think that every time I think I can't be shocked, I'm shocked again at the depravity of, and the depth of that depravity. And so I'm just saying, when we see that, what does it do? Well, to disciples, it causes them to say, God, we need your protection. We've got to know in whom we have believed. We've got to know that we're right with God. We've got to know that we're saved. We've got to know that our families are saved. Have to know that our kids are under the blood and that we cover them. And how often do you have to do that? Just when they're injured? No, I'm telling you, we ought to be practicing prevention. Preventative spirituality, because God is warning us by the things that are happening. He's warning His people. It's time to pray. It's time to fast. It's time to worship God. It's time to get after it. Do what God has called you to do. And know this, that with Christ, all things are possible. And without Christ, with all of the good things that you want, a can of nothing. Christ is not just here to save you so that you don't go to hell. He has come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That your life be a supernatural life that your life be one of boldness and standing in a crooked and dark generation and world and say, Jesus is the light of the world and there's no salvation except through Christ. That He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. The realities of gospel truth, the realities of biblical truth should shake us to our core and say, God, without you, we can't stand. If you don't lead us, we won't survive. God wants you to know that you will not survive these last days unless He helps you and guides you and sustains you. You have to know. You're not going to make it. You will not make it unless you are a committed Christian and you become faithful and you stay faithful and you stay on your knees and believe that without Him, you can do, but it's nothing. But with Him, we can be David and face Goliath. We can do that. We can be thrown in the fiery furnace. As a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. You can do it if Christ helps us. If His life is lived through us, you can walk around in the fire as long as Jesus is walking with you. Lion's den, it's all right. It's all right. You can do it. Daniel did it. You can do it. Can you raise kids in a wicked generation that we have? Right? Yeah, you can do it. Can we have virtuous young people and virtuous kids and virtuous parents and virtuous saints that are humble and holy before God and repentant and submissive? Loving one another, preferring one another. Can we turn the other cheek? Oh, come on, preacher. I'm not gifted in that direction. I'm not either. All right. I'm not going to hit you back. Walk that extra mile? Yeah. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I've just come to the place I just can't do it. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, well, you got to. But God, you've got a lot of people who don't do that. Why would I have to do it? You have to. You have to love. You got to put up with stuff. You got to get over it. You got to grow up. You got to be tough. Come on, you're a soldier. You have to. But God, I don't feel like it. Got to do it. But I can't. Okay. Then I'll do it through you. I'll help you. God, now you're talking. Okay. If you'll do it, if you'll help me, and here am I, Lord, send me. God took the prophet Ezekiel and said, showed him a graveyard of bones, and he said, can. And he was faced with two cans. And God said, which can are you going to eat out of? What can of food are you going to live by? And God was really tough on Ezekiel, like He's tough on us. He didn't take a bunch of sick people and say, Ezekiel, can you believe that I can make these sick people well? He didn't do that. He didn't even take a bunch of freshly dead corpses and say, can I raise these from the dead like Jesus did with the widow's son at Nain or with Lazarus? That'd have been tough. But God took Ezekiel out to a boneyard with dry bones, and He wanted to know what can Ezekiel would eat out of. And He asked Ezekiel the question and then paused for an answer. The question was, can these bones live? Answer, please. Oh, Lord. You know within you, you know those bones can't live. You know that. You're going to lie to God? Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah. See it every day. Thought in the movies. Yeah, it can happen. Oh, yeah, I got to say it. Yeah, yeah. Lord, could you give me another question, please? Can I pass on that one? No. I want you to tell me what you really believe, Ezekiel. Can these bones live? And I answered, Ezekiel says, and I answered, smart guy, real smart. O Lord God, thou knowest. It was perfect. He wasn't going to lie either way. He said, Lord, you know. That's what Peter said. When Jesus said, do you love me more than these? Peter said, thou knowest. And God knowest us too. He knows. He knows. And God knows that I need to grow in my faith. I need to eat more out of the can of all things. I need to be strong in that. I need to get rid of my doubts, confusion, uncertainty. The devil is throwing it our way to be uncertain, to be not sure, not settled. And so we have to pursue him with the word and with prayer and with worship and seeking God. Seeking God. Say, God, make me firm. Give me that stability, that confidence, God, which hath great recompense of reward. If I can know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I committed to him against that day, then I can die for Christ as Paul did. If I can be like Paul said, I know in whom, and the sword is coming. The sword is coming, and I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. That's the way I want to face my death. I want to know that I know that I know. But I have to eat out of that can. I can't live for myself, do my own thing, hope it works out, and then when it's time to die, be a great martyr for the Lord. It doesn't work that way. If you want to die right, you better live right, because you can't cram for the exam at the last minute. You can be saved at the last minute. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Then they will die by faith as well. Father, we love you. Thank you.